Thank you, Pastor Mike. My name is Lindsay Lundvall, and I am married to Shay. And together we have two kids. Our daughter Skylyn is actually going to be 10 tomorrow. And then our son Brecken is 7. And you guys get the privilege. I'm actually on summer break. And so this is like one of the rare occasions that I'm in actual clothing other than athletic wear in the summertime. I'm the school counselor up at Buffalo Ridge Elementary School. And that is also where our two kids attend. I grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota, in a strong Christian home where Christian morals and values were the norm. Not going to church on a Sunday was just never an option. And I'm the youngest of three. I have two older brothers. And I was also the youngest granddaughter and also the only granddaughter. And so ever since I can remember, I have been a people pleaser. And because I was the youngest and because I was the only girl, I was really good at getting people to like me. In high school, I was never part of one group of people or different groups of friends. I kind of had friends in all of the different circles. And for me, it felt really good for people to like me. And I enjoyed that feeling. And quite honestly, I was really good at getting people to like me. But that desire grew into something more where I felt the need. I needed people to like me. I went away to college and attended South Dakota State University. And honestly, the typical college scene was party scene was never my cup of tea. When I was in fifth grade, my dad was killed by a drunk driver. And so alcohol was just never something I was interested in. It wasn't in high school and it wasn't in college. At SDSU, I started attending Campus Crusades for Christ, as well as church every Sunday and Oasis at every Sunday night. So Brookings, South Dakota is a college town. The majority of their population are the students at the university there. And so the church that I attended, they had an outreach program for college students called Oasis. Essentially, it was like a youth group every Sunday night. And it was at Oasis where my faith really began to solidify. And I was constantly around all of these other women and all of these other men that were also on that same mission of wanting to chase after God. And I knew I wanted to be a woman after God. And because of the way I was raised, I was acutely aware of what Proverbs 31 says about women. Now, if you're not familiar, Proverbs 31 is a chapter filled with all of the godly qualities of a Christian woman, and it's pretty intense. Shay and I met my freshman year of college when I was 19. And Shay loves telling the version of how we met, but I have the microphone today. So I thought of taking advantage of telling you all how we met, but maybe I'll do that during second service when he's not here. We got married at the start of my junior year of college when I was just 20 years old. And at the time, I thought I was this grown woman with all of this knowledge and all of this experience. And I was thrust into being a college student to also being a wife at the same time. Going into my marriage, I knew about Proverbs 31, and I knew about what it called us to be as women, and I remembered it being very intimidating. I remember reading it and thinking to myself, there's no way I'm ever gonna be able to measure up to that. I'm gonna constantly miss the mark. I'm gonna constantly miss what it lays out for us as women, probably the people pleaser side of me. I read it as a to-do list that I needed to accomplish in my first year of marriage. Now, I'm very much a to-do list person. Even now, with technology and having like stuff on your phone, being able to make lists, I like actually writing out like paper pencil list. There's just some pleasure of being able to cross things off or put a check mark by it. And so I felt with Proverbs 31, I felt like it was this to-do list and I needed to cross everything off and accomplish all of those things in my first year of marriage. And I was only 21 years old. So instead of really leaning into this lifestyle of Proverbs 31 and what it lays out, it just became this high moral standard that was unachievable, and I was always gonna come up short. But that's how Satan works. He wants to keep us in bondage. He wants to remind us of the ways that we're not going to measure up. He wants us to hold us back, keep us in chains, so that we can't become who God called us to be. He wants to remind us how we're not succeeding, maybe in our career path, or as a wife, or as a mom, or as a friend. I remembered about a year ago hearing on a podcast by Greg Laurie that Satan will go so far to fabricate evidence to get us to believe a lie. And he'll sometimes use other people in our life to lie to us and to get us, and he'll make it seem like it's real to get us to believe that lie. Like I said, I was always well-liked, and I truly never encountered much adversity or people verbally telling me things they didn't like about me. And I'm sure along the way there were people who didn't like me, but I was never told that. And then I became an adult. And the adversity that a lot of girls experience in middle school and high school that you hear about, I experienced as a young adult. I was told things like I'd never be good enough, nobody liked me, nobody wanted to be around me. And you're probably thinking, okay, Lindsay, but you've told us you're a people pleaser, and people pleasers, they project. We see somebody talking, and then we make up a scenario of what they might be saying, and then we get ourselves to believe it. No, these were actual words that I was told. And I started to believe them. I started to believe I wasn't good enough. So then I just started to put pressure on myself, like at certain situations. I was like, if I can just act perfectly in this situation, I'm going to impress the people around me. They're going to be happy with me. Or if I can just say the right things at the right time, nobody's going to be able to find any fault in me. I just began to put this pressure on myself. And then because of all this pressure I was putting on myself, I wasn't able to be myself. If you know me, I am a jokester. I like to have fun. I grew up in a family. Like I said, my two older brothers, they are just a blast to be around. I'm loud. I probably really don't even need this microphone on. But I was just began to not be able to be myself. And I began to feel enslaved to what Proverbs 31 says, instead of holding myself accountable for my actions. Because let's face it, there is some accountability we need to take. And I'm speaking to myself here more than anything. There's a difference between putting pressure on ourselves and holding ourselves accountable. You know, pressure makes us feel like we're inadequate. We're chasing after grace. We're never worthy enough. If you think of being in a swimming pool, and I think kids do the same thing today as I did when I was a kid. But if you have like a beach ball or any flotation device and you try to hold it underwater, that thing is constantly trying to escape and find a way up, right? And I think that's how we feel when we put pressure on ourselves. We're constantly trying to find a way to escape. We're trying to find air. We're trying to get out of that situation. Where accountability leads to repentance, and ultimately it should lead to then change. Because God gives us grace, not only do we need to extend grace to others, but we also need to extend grace to ourselves. We need to recognize our mistakes, learn from them. Shay and I are in the very first season of our lives as travel ball parents. Our daughter Skylyn is playing traveling softball, and it has been a lot of fun, and it's been a huge learning experience, not only for her, but for us too. About a month ago, she was in a game, and she was standing on second base. And her coach in baseball and softball, a lot of times the coach will give them a signal that tells them to steal the base. So she's on second base, and her coach gives her the signal to steal and go to third base. And so she takes off running. And she, and also another thing, in 10U softball, the girls, it's their first time ever really learning how to properly slide into a base. Because when you steal, that's what you got to do. You got to slide into the base so you get under the ball. So she takes off running, and her coach gives her the signal. This is the signal to get down, get down, get down. And she's just running, and she goes like this. doesn't slide, goes right into the third baseman who has the ball, and she's out. And my brother goes, interesting strategy. Bet she'll never do that again. And I think that's how it is for us. You know, sometimes we feel like we're going along in life, we're following this Christian path, and we are following what Jesus says, but because of our flesh and because of the fact that we still live in this world, we're going along and God's like, no, get down. You got to get down. And we're just going and boom. We make a mistake. Interesting strategy, right? And then we feel though like we've blown it. Skylyn not sliding, that did not lose the game for her team. It was a mistake, and yeah, she's learned from it. And that's how we need to be too sometimes. We're gonna make mistakes. God's gonna tell us to get down and slide, and we're not going to because sometimes we think we know better. And we're gonna hit that brick wall, and instead of thinking that we've blown it, it's a mistake. And don't let a moment or a mistake feel like you've totally blown it. Because here's the thing. It's not up to us to get things perfect. God already did that for us. And because God is sovereign, we can't screw it up. God already knew we'd mess up. He saw that at the very beginning. He knew we'd make a mistake. That's why he gave us Jesus. So then what does Proverbs 31 say about us as women? Because if you've read it, not only is it intimidating, it's also very confusing and unrelatable. For example, there's a verse in there that says, she finds wool and flax and busily spins it. I can't tell you the last time I've done either of those things. So something that's helped me when I read Proverbs 31 is shifting my mind from reading it as a to-do list to a guideline for how we're supposed to live out our faith as a Christian woman. So I'm gonna break it down into five kind of themes that we see in this chapter. Integrity. The passage starts off by saying, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? The word virtuous means moral excellence, or somebody with high moral standards. Essentially, this is a person that God is describing, a woman who is uncommon. And the whole book of Proverbs, this is the very last chapter in Proverbs, the whole book is taught, the purpose of it is to teach wisdom, to teach discipline, to teach people how to know right from wrong, to be able to make the right decision, even though it might not be the popular one, to be uncommon. So to have integrity. Hard work. Verses 13 through 15. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant's ship. She brings her food from afar. Mine comes from Walmart. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. So the theme here is hard work, because that's pretty unrelatable, right, to today's day and age? The theme here is hard work. How do you give sacrificially for your family? Whatever line of work God has called you to do, whether you work in the home, whether you work outside of the home, whether you work part-time, whether you work in the church or as a volunteer, whatever line of work that God has called you to do, do it to the best of your ability. My dad, even though my dad died when I was young, I can still remember him saying, anything worth doing is worth doing right. So it calls us to work hard. Productivity. Verse 16 says, she goes out to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. We're gonna jump down to verse 21. She has no fear of winter for her household, because she didn't live in Wyoming, because all of them have warm clothes. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and we think it's old-fashioned, and it tells us that women are just supposed to sit in the corner, not say anything, not really do anything. But this right here kind of calls us to action. It's telling us to use our time wisely, to think ahead and plan for the future, to not procrastinate, but look ahead. Be productive with what God has given you, especially in our friendship circles. How are you being productive in sharing the love of Jesus with the people around you, not only in your own home, but in your workplace or in your friendships? And we have faith as another theme. So we've got integrity, hard work, productivity, and faith. And it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs with no fear of the future. Are you so grounded in what the Bible says in God's word that when life happens, you're able to laugh at it? You're able to go, all right, okay, this is interesting, but I'm trusting you because I'm trusting the one who holds the future. I'm trusting the one who I know has the perfect plan for me. You know, as women, there's something special about women, and especially about moms. So at our school, and I know a lot of different schools do this, but we have something called dads and donuts and then moms and muffins. So this is a picture of my family on dads and donuts, and this is what we would call a framer. It's like perfect, right? I mean, they're all smiling at the camera. They're posed perfectly. It is an absolute perfect picture that I want to print off and put in Shay's office. About a month later, we have moms and muffins, and here's the picture I get. And I got that picture, and my first thought was, are you kidding me? Really? But there's just something special about moms. Even as an adult, when I get sick, I still want my mom. And so because there's something just a little bit special about moms, how are you leading your kids or your family in the faith? It says she's clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without no fear of the future. A lot of times we put the role of leading the family in faith, that falls on the man of the family, but it can come from us too. It's not gonna take away from what your husband does. It's gonna enhance it. They're gonna see you as a united front. Our kids are with me all the time. Like I said earlier, they go to my school. So they're with me in the morning, before school in my office. And then they're also with me after school in my office. And then at home until their dad gets home from work. And if your kids are anything like my kids, their favorite thing to do with each other is fight. And so there's a lot of times when I have to step in at the moment and discipline them for something. And usually the very first thing they say to me is, don't tell dad. I'm like, have you seen your dad? I'm definitely telling him. But I've had to explain to them that the reason I'm telling your dad is not because I want to get you into more trouble. You've already faced the consequence. It's because we're a team. And the only way a team can work appropriately and effectively is if we're communicating with each other. So just know ahead of time, if you do something and I have to discipline you, dad's already knowing about it. So your faith, how are you leading not only those around you in your family, but in your community to know the love of Jesus? Now, the fifth theme, I think, kind of takes all of these together and puts it into one. And I think there's a reason why this verse on beauty, which is the fifth theme, is at the very end of this chapter. Charm, verse 30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. The world is telling us all the time how we as women should be beautiful. It makes it pretty difficult. And because of social media and the internet, we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. I mean, there's always different trends that we're under scrutiny about our weight, about all these different things. Men, did you know right now there is a certain way to do your eyebrows or even your eyelashes? The clothing is constantly changing. I mean, a few years ago, like, younger kids could tell you were old if you had, like, still did a side part versus a middle part. Or my favorite right now is tube socks. Ankle socks, no-show socks, those are out. And if you wear those, you're old. I'm like, are you kidding me? I remember in middle school and high school, we didn't have ankle socks and we wanted them. So we would take our tube socks, roll them down under our foot, then put our shoe on. So it looks like we had no socks on. And now you're telling me that that makes me old? But that's just this constant rabbit race that we're in with beauty and the world telling us how to be beautiful. But instead it says right here, true beauty is found in those four themes. It's found in our integrity. It's found in our hard work. It's found in our productivity. It's found in our faith. That's where we get our true beauty. And those are gonna way outlast appearances. Because our path towards becoming the woman God has called us to be is truly no different than the path that all of us go through. The sanctification path, that once we become believers, the path that God has called us to as we're following Jesus every single day, it is no different for us as women. So if this overwhelms you, and you're feeling like you're looking at this as a to-do list and you've got to check all these off, find one of them that is a struggle. And if you're not sure which one is a struggle, ask somebody close to you who you trust, because I guarantee they'll let you know which one you could maybe work on. It's just like the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're not going to get all of those right every single time. We're not going to be perfect at them. Like I said, Jesus was perfect. There's some that might need more attention than others. Be uncommon. Don't be like this world. Because this world, when this world tells you that you're not good enough, or this world tells you you're never going to measure up, or this world tells you that you've blown it, remember that Jesus already paid it all for you. And we have the choice, all of us do, every single morning to pick up our cross, face the day's battles with him by our side, because we're not going to become this Proverbs 31 woman overnight. And men, if you feel left out right now, your talk is coming next week from Pastor Mike. But we're not gonna become this Proverbs 31 woman overnight. But when we're following him actively, he'll hold us accountable. He'll fine-tune us along the way. Because as we say here at New Life, Jesus makes us better, and he makes us better at life. Please pray with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for all of the people that are in here this morning and for those that are watching online. I pray that your voice would be louder than the voices of this world, and that every day, Lord, we would be able to hear you out of the crowd, and we would be able to follow you even when this world is tugging at us and telling us to go a different way, that we would have the courage to follow you, to become the person that you created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.